Big time, man. Welcome back. We back, we here. And for those of you that don't know, I got done with a 4-hour live stream earlier today with the one and only Thailand Dan. He is trying to get his own YouTube channel started, and I think a lot of people would benefit from it, as I know the roughly 100 people that were listening to the live stream throughout today really enjoyed what he was talking about. He has some amazing stories, and he's an interesting guy. And he was born in Delaware. He's lived in Hawaii, and he's been living in Southeast Asia since the 90s. And he's been married 3 times, divorced twice, and the first 2 women that he had severe bipolar or probably BPD and mixes of it. And he's been through some hellish situations. And his third wife, a Thai woman, tragically died in a motor accident. So please check him out in the stream if you want to get to know him and to talk to him and reach out to him. I'll leave a comment in the video with his email pinned as well, and you can maybe reach out and talk to him on Skype. And I wanted to lead off with an intro about Dan as well because of a phenomenon that he brought up that is very common with nice guys. And it's something that I saw in myself when he was discussing what he went through. So it's the problem of entering into a relationship and taking it to places where it should not go because of a feeling of guilt. And he mentioned that he married twice out of guilt, just out of guilt, guilted into a relationship. It's not like she guilted him into it. He projected that feeling, and I've done that same thing. I've done that same thing. He's a smart guy. He's a guy that looked out for others. And partially because of these things, he ended up getting into these situations with women that threw him under the bus, were drug abusers, did cocaine, but, you know, they were smoking hot. And it brings up the line, because you're sweet like cocoa, but all you want to do is the cocoa. Hanging out with you is a no-go. And they're absolute head-turners. Okay, they're hanging out with band members of Journey and just generally playing off that external appeal while they were internally in perpetual turmoil, and they just bring you into that hurricane. Turmoil that they'll throw into the life of the people around them. And they when they're in myriad of pieces, you have to come in with the vacuum and suck it up. And you have to get the dustpan out every time and put them back together. Okay, they'll get you arrested. They'll get you broke. They'll take a saint and turn them into a sinner, and you won't even think twice about it. And that was me too. And he reflected on the circumstances of the relationships of what I think was his first relationship. And he thought, I can't leave her now, can I? I can't do that to her. Look at her now. I have to stay with her. So what should I do? I should marry her. And this was, I think, in his early 30s. I could be wrong. He can come in and correct me if he wants. But he was a baller from what it sounds like. Still in good shape in his 60s now. Likely he would be able to get any chick that he could, especially at that age when you have a little money. And he's probably turned down many in the past. But even those that can get better, if playing the role of the nice guy at the time, the one that attracts the manic, the BPD, the NPD, the bipolar, will settle because of this overwhelming feeling of guilt. And when you're in the middle of the relationship, you don't internalize it as guilt, though. You internalize it as the quote-unquote right thing to do, your duty as a man, your duty as a little person, and what society also expects of you. And I've taken from this person before. She's offered me sex. She's offered me this attention. Ah, I should get married. Okay. And that this is the type of guy that, as he said, if you walk into a room of 100 people and there are 2 bipolar or BPD women in there, those women will find you and you'll be the one that ends up speaking to them. They have some sense for stability, some sense for empathy, some sense that they'll, you know, be able to get light from somewhere else, someone else. And they just come in and they sense it and they go like sharks to blood and they take it. So he went through this and I went through this. I guilted myself as well. And this is one of the most life-threatening things that you can do and that MGTOW men can discuss about the nice guy. So this anecdote that he brought up, it resonated with me so heavily because, you know, as I said, that was me. The woman that you're guilted in dating and eventually marrying, just they rope you in. And as a nice guy, I set myself up for this. But I became a nice guy when I took part in the transaction, the currency exchange with another woman. And that currency is where her power is. That's where her investment is. Okay, that's in sex. And if you refrain from that and you maintain that ball in your court, you don't relinquish that which takes a half a man or a man to a half a man, which is a nice guy doing that to himself. Okay, if you do that, you can maintain your position. Okay, a nice guy is not who a man is meant to be. And that's the greatest threat to you, which is losing that which makes you a nice guy. A nice guy surrenders his health, his mind, his life for retaining someone that will just turn him out and treat him like trash. And after a while, the nice guy does reach his threshold where he'll move on, but it's different for every single nice guy. So my time in high school, just to give you a lead up to when I guilted myself into almost getting married. Okay, my time in high school, I wasn't that nice guy. I was actually quite averse to dating. I was anti-romance in every sense. In fact, reflecting on it, I just saw it as childish. In high school, I didn't even want to be seen entertaining talking to a girl or expressing any interest in dating because I thought it was weak. I thought it was a waste of time. I thought it was weak, most importantly. I didn't think that it was how a man should spend his time at all. He couldn't be a man because of it. And Fight Club was obviously still very much a heavy influence on me then, as were Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 1, 7. I talk about both those things a lot. And so I was kind of on my own MGTOW path, just for my own personal reasons. Even in high school, I was like, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this with my life. See ya. And I wasn't expecting to be in my hometown either. And so I was like, what's the point? Okay, and without experiencing the dangers of dating and consuming these red pills, I still thought this. And this was between 2008 and 2012. That's when I was in high school. So MGTOW was beginning on YouTube, but it was far from where it is now. And obviously, I didn't know of MGTOW yet. I didn't come across until after college in 2016. So I remember two different girls between when I was the age of 14 and 15 that asked me out to a couple, I don't know what they were, dances, whatever nonsense that is. And I don't remember if this was some dance, but the girls are expected to ask you out to, whatever. So the first one asked me out and said, and I said, nah, sorry, no interest. The second one was during the second half of my freshman year. She asked me to do a dance. I didn't want to go, but, you know, I also had a legit excuse. I had NBA tickets that night, and I was a huge fan of the team from about 30 minutes where I grew up. I was like, not missing it. No big deal. Then this happened again during my junior year. I was in AP US History at the time, and I was just there because I didn't want to get fined. I didn't care about the class at all. I loved US History. I still do. But I was fixated on the specific career path that I was building at that point, and I really didn't want to focus on anything else. I'm really a one-track-minded person. I'm terrible at multitasking, terrible at trying to do multiple things at once, and that goes from a micro to a macro perspective as well in life. I don't waver from it. And she was a bawling student. She kept talking to me in class, and because she didn't have my cell phone number at the time, she never came across where she got it. She kept calling my house number through the number left in the school directory, leaving me messages, asking for answers on homework and questions about due dates. And I'm like, chick, what the heck are you doing? I suck at this class. I don't pay any attention. You're going to this top of the line private college on scholarship. I don't know anything other than who's going to win the Missouri Valley Conference in basketball and what I got to do to get a W on the mound each start that I had that season. So she ends up asking me out after a chemistry class. And I'm like, nah, you don't want to date me. Okay, that goes on. Whatever. Things pass. I had a couple more things like this in college, and I turned them down. And it's like, you know, I was being tested, and I was staying in my own light. I was staying in my own way. I hadn't partook in this exchange of currency that takes a potential nice guy, which was me, and brings him to that place of guilt. So, you know, I could handle those things. And it was almost like I was being tested here because it ended up being my cuckness, my blue pill thought, and my nice guy mentality that walked me into guilt when I was a junior in college. So she was hot. There's no doubt about it. And with that being my first relationship, I just let things unravel. And despite doing a yeoman's effort to keep her, doing all those things that the nice guy thinks he has to do, the nice guy will feel like he owes a girl marriage if he exchanges the currency, which is sex. And that's where I tripped up. You think, oh, I'll just back out of this, okay? I'll make the decision. I'll finally draw. It'll finally come to a last straw, and I'll leave. You think that day after day after day, but the calendar keeps turning, and soon enough, I was buying her a ring. Mind you, I'm 22. It's not like I have much money, but it's still a ring. Finally realizing that I was doing this out of guilt, considering I would be moving in a few months upon graduating, and she wasn't gonna. I drifted away, and thankfully, nothing came of this. And I finally was able to learn as to what was happening, and I came across MGTOW 2 months later. But I tell this narrative because of what can become of a nice guy when he thinks that guilt is an okay feeling to dictate a marriage. That's Dan's story as well, and that's the story of many MGTOW men. Okay, shed the ego. Barbarossa's blog, shedding of the ego, but also shed the guilt. Okay, just when you shed the ego, doesn't mean you're not shedding the, you're completely shedding the ego, and you got to shed the guilt at the same time. Okay, you're a man and you draw the line and you have an abundant life. Life is abundant. You don't have a scarce life. And the guilted nice guy believes that his life is scarce, that he's owing everything to this woman, okay, and that he owes everything, his life to her as well, and that there's no other option, which couldn't be further from the truth. Okay, that's not the case. And this is ultimately not even the point of the video. It's not about being scared straight. It's about realizing that the ball is always in your court. Keep it in your court. Don't punt it to the punt returner either. Keep it yourself. Go for it on fourth down, whatever you got to do. And I know that this was somewhat of an abridged version of a video that could be much longer, but that's the crux of the talk today. And just a snippet of the 4-hour convo that I had with Thailand Dan earlier. Hit him up. He's got good words. Got 22 years on me. Okay. And thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening to the live stream if you also listen to that. Once again, reach out to Dan. And as always, at the end of each video, I've been announcing I'm putting an ebook together, a collection of stories from MGTOW men sharing how they came to MGTOW and what it has done to benefit their life. If you want to take part in that, you can hit me up at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Enjoy your Saturday, men. Hoodies up, hoodies out.